This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson presents what I believe to be God's challenge for our Bible study group members for the new year. I focus our attention on ministry and leadership, but end with a call to personal holiness, which is essential for truly God-empowered and God-honoring service for Him. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia, as we were entering 2016. God bless you as we study His Word.
As you guys know, since we have been together for a long, long time, and I'm thinking now we're starting year 13, I'll have to go back and check. I think it's year 13. And that's our 13th annual versity as the teacher here in our class, which is amazing. We know each other well enough for you to know me, and that New Year's for me is always every year a big deal because it's kind of a reset point. It's a time to figure out what went well, what didn't, what isn't going well, what needs to change, And so for years now, every year at the beginning of the year, I've tried to have a lesson that was focused on kind of big picture stuff, vision for the new year, and to at least express to you where I believe God is leading us as a class, where God's leading me to focus for the upcoming year. And so since we're not having class next week or the first Sunday in the new year, I decided that instead of having a Christmas-focused lesson this morning, that we would have one focused on that idea. What is my vision or direction for 2016? Just so that you'll have a little bit of idea of what else is coming down the pike, we still, per your request, are planning on working on gathering our pictures up to go through our trip to Israel. And show you some stuff from that, talk about it, some of the cool things that we saw and how it has already impacted our reading of the Scripture and that kind of stuff. So that's cool. We have that coming up. Don't know when. Probably try to work on that over our break when we have some downtime. Probably. Like on the 10th is what you're thinking? We will try. We will try. How's that? We will try to get our stuff together by then. And so that's, and then another thing, we talked about this a few weeks ago. We already talked about this, that I really do think that it would be very cool. I don't know, God may, of course, change the plans, but for us to go through the book of James together seems like a really, really great idea. And as I was thinking about, okay, this what we're going to talk about this morning, how wonderfully the book of James would fit into these three ideas that I'm going to talk about this morning. So anyway. Mm-hmm. Really? Wow. Lots of good stuff there. That's cool.
By the way, Jonathan has titled his lesson, "So Fresh and So Clean."
No, he hasn't. This is the first that Jonathan has heard about that. So fresh and so clean for 2016. T-shirts and everything. Man, and we could even put the picture that we took last night on the back of it. Wow. There you go. We actually need to quickly get into this because a great deal of content and a little bit of time. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, so for 2016, I was praying and God for weeks has been kind of filling in gaps to build a skeleton and then meat on those bones for what we would talk about this morning. And if you'll remember from last year, what we had was the focus on Bible reading, and We've talked about leadership in the past. We've talked about ministry in the past. And those things kind of are all coming together for me for this next year. And I wanted for us, please, to turn to Romans chapter 12. That's going to be the scripture for the day. And as I was looking at that, trying to kind of trim that so that we didn't have such a large passage for us to study this morning, I kept realizing, though, you know what, though? This entire chapter is just a fantastic starting point for a new year and includes stuff to focus on what we'll be talking about today, but the whole chapter is just wonderful. In fact, if someone wanted to, they could just take that entire chapter and think, okay, thought after thought, concept after concept, great, great stuff. Romans chapter 12. Would someone read, please, I don't know, it's 21 verses. Can somebody read the whole thing for us, please? Isn't that awesome? What an incredible passage. So much stuff in there, so much stuff. What I want for us to do is focus on three things that I see come out in this passage and that I see us focusing on now and moving forward. And first of all, for us, is in fact a renewed focus on ministry. And one of my challenges for us today will be for each one of us to look at where we are in our service to God, in our ministry to God, and ask the question, am I doing? And the subtitle for this little section is, it's time to do. Time for us to do and to stop just talking about it. All right, the cool thing, the way that Paul began this this passage in Romans chapter 12, we're not really going to get into it and do any expository treatment of it to any significant extent. But it's important for us to realize where Romans 12 fits into the whole scheme of things, and to see what he was doing in the beginning of it here with verses 1 especially is where we'll start. But Romans chapter 12, Romans, by the way, my favorite, it's tough. One of my three favorite books in the Bible, just a fantastic book. In fact, if you go to the cemetery, you find that it is a treasure trove of theological content. It is arguably the most important theological treatise ever written. I don't recall. Don't know. The first, the book is divided into two very clear sections, chapters 1 through 11, and then 12 through 16, the rest of it. 1 through 11, that is the theology. That is where Paul talks about grace, he talks about sin, he talks about faith, he talks about Israel, he talks about everything you need to know with respect to God and his plan for us and for the ages. In verse 12:1, what is the first word? Therefore. Therefore. And, sorry? It is, therefore. When you see the word therefore, look, because it's there for a reason. Therefore, because of all of this theological truth, because of God and his plan for us and for the church and for Israel and for all this stuff, for all those reasons, therefore, I urge you to start doing this, to live this way. He begins the practical section. Theology, first 11 chapters, practice, the last four. The last five. And so as we look here at chapter 12, verse 1, this is the very start of his, okay, we've talked about all this stuff, now let's get down to how that looks in real life. And that's verse 1 in chapter 12. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. King James, of course, says, which is your reasonable service. And it's interesting that Paul has just finished talking about the Jews and God's program and plan for the Jews. And then he talks about our practice. And he's really contrasting here. When he says there to present your bodies, it's really saying keep on presenting your bodies. Constantly be presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. And see the reference to sacrifice there? What he's saying there is, you know how the Jews do it like seven times a year, right? Occasionally. They have their holy sacrifices. Well, for you, it's going to be constant. It's going to be day in, day out. Your life as a follower of Jesus is going to be a daily service. And by the way, because of God's mercy, because of what he's done for you, all this stuff that we talked about, because of that, it's reasonable. It's reasonable that in the light of his sacrifice for you, that you would constantly be serving him. Does that make sense? And so he begins this passage talking about our service, the expectation for and the reasonableness of our service to God. So ministry, that's what he's talking about. In the light of all that God has done for you, it is your reasonable service. And then Paul jumps into a metaphor, which is just fantastic. And really, you know, we talk about it and all that, but we really don't get it, I think, even as frequently as it is that we hear about it. And that is the metaphor of the body. And that metaphor of the body completely destroys the idea that followers of Jesus can just sit there and watch other people serve God. Look at your body. What happens if a part of your body decides to stop working? Unless it's your spleen or your appendix, then you've got a problem, right? So what happens? You die, you are disabled, you have disease. That's what happens in your body when part of it decides to stop working. I hate it that I have an example of this, but I do. Scarlett, part of her brain doesn't work. And so she is not effective, able. She is not able to do what a normal body is supposed to be able to do. That's what happens when we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, decide that we're going to just sit there and watch others. This. This metaphor of the body completely.
Yeah, I'm sure you worship them, but you're not helping anybody else.
Yeah. If that were true about a physical body, then it just wouldn't work. So let's read that. Romans 12, 4 through 8. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We're going to talk about that metaphor again in a few moments. But that's that picture that it gives us. So don't think you can just sit there. For us to think that is just wrong. And you wonder why the body of Christ isn't as effective as it could be. Part of the body is just sitting there doing nothing. So we got to fix that. All right, let's keep reading through verse 8, 6 through 8. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. The point that Paul's making there is, you have a gift. You have a spiritual gift. It's not a physical ability. It's not something that you went to school to get good at. It's nothing like that. It is a God-given spiritual ability that is supernatural, in fact. This is like Superman, who can fly, he can leap buildings in a single, all that stuff. It is supernatural. The spiritual gifts that God has given us, not talent, it's nothing like that. It is a supernatural ability to do spiritual things in a way that really is beyond you. Spiritual gifts are an incredibly important aspect of your being a follower of Jesus. The moment that that happens, boom, he gifts you, he equips you to serve him. And so this idea of being spiritually gifted tells us two things. First of all, he plans on you serving him, ministering, doing spiritual service. He expects that of you. Second of all, he even gifts you to tell you what he wants you to do. And so discovering your spiritual gift is a really important thing. How many of you, if we were to have you, each one of you say it or write it down or whatever, how many of you today feel like you'd pretty confidently be able to say, I know what my spiritual gift is from God? Many of you, but not all of you. And how long ago was that? We were sitting in the comfy chairs, and so it's been a while. But we, yeah, we measure time by, according to our chairs. Was it? Because that's right. We were meeting over there. You had started coming. So 3 years ago, was it? Seems a long time. That seems like a long time ago. And yet you came anyway. See, a lot of the group were baited with the comfy chairs, and then they moved us in here. Well, we actually went through a study to help us discover what our spiritual gifts are, because it is so incredibly important for you to know that. Why can I get up and teach and feel confident about doing that? Not that I'm a good teacher. I probably shared this however many years ago that was. We were talking about that back then. When I was at the cemetery, I was a, what you call it, assistant for one semester, a professor's assistant, whatever that is, teaching assistant. And so our church history professor was going to be gone for a couple of weeks, and so he had me teach this cemetery class on church history, and I was awful. Yeah. It was awful. It was horrible. And what I learned from that or walked away with was really not being surprised at all by that, because I am not a good teacher. The only thing that I can ever claim to be able to do effectively standing in front of a room teaching is the scripture. Why is that? Because it has nothing to do with my abilities. It's because God has gifted me that way. My spiritual gift, teaching, exhortation. That's what I do. And so it's Him. That's one of the great things about it, is that if someone ministers in God's name using the spiritual gifts that He gave them, and they happen to be, you know, there are some people who are really great at it, and, well, it's not them. So, you know, this idea about pride and all that, don't be proud, as we read twice in this passage. Yeah, what do you have to be proud about? Pride, it wasn't you. Not me, God, through the spiritual gifting that He's given us. So it's very important for us to know, oh, yikes, our spiritual gifts. We're still on page 2 of 6. But this lesson can't be a 16-week-long series because it's the first one for the year. Anyway, so you have a spiritual gift, use it. And by the way, we see this kind of stuff going on all around us. As we see each other serve, we see this going on all around us. Look later on, and we'll talk about this, a very practical thing, verses 10 through 13. So he talked about use your spiritual gifts, and then just in case it's not clear, here's what I want you to be doing, 10 through 13. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Does that remind you of our study of a couple of years ago, do love? That's the whole idea right there, this idea of brotherly love, doing things that matter for others. Give preference one to another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Emily, who wants us to think that she doesn't like being around people, happens to be a great hostess. You are good at hospitalizing people. Yeah, true. But honestly, your willingness to host us, Rose, you have that gift as well. We can look around and see people who are really gifted in ways that matter.
Wait, she's the perfect example of how it's not natural.
Yes. Because it's against her personality. You're just... And so we see here so many different ways to minister to others, and let's not though get off this topic of ministry until we ask a really important question. We just hired a new pastor, right? Yay! Praise God! That is a huge praise, a huge joy, a big deal. It's a really big deal, and I think we got us a great one. Does that mean all of a sudden, okay, whew, ministry can get back going again because we finally have a senior pastor who can start to get with it and start ministering? We have, and that just points out the fact that it is not his job or their job as paid staff members to do the ministry while we sit back and watch. There's a really important passage that I can't not read to make sure that we understand this really clearly. What their job is, what our job is. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And think about this in the context of what we're studying in Romans. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. These are the leaders in the church, the ones that equip, well, why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. I think we've talked about this in the past, just to reiterate, the King James had a really bad problem in it with this in this verse right here. You guys know that absolutely the original autographs of Scripture were 100% inerrant, God-inspired, God-breathed works of text, absolutely every word, perfect. Well, the problem is when you take those original autographs, which we don't have, but we are certain that we're extremely close to having exactly the same text that were written by the original authors. Well, when you translate those into another language, the problem is that there is some subjectivity there. There's the possibility of not doing things exactly right. And what happens in the King James, when they translated this verse in the King James, they translated it, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, comma. That comma right there completely messed it up. Because, listen to what it says. Here's the job of these pastors and teachers, the leaders of the church, the paid staff, if you want to call them that. Well, it's for the equipping of the saints. It's for the work of service. It's for the building up of the body of Christ. No, you take the comma out and it's right. Listen to what it says if you do that. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. You see the difference? The difference is massive. Their job isn't to preach and to serve and to all that stuff. Their job is to preach and teach us to serve, equip us to serve. And that is a major difference, really important. But look at what happens as he goes on there, just to kind of tie everything back in a nice little bow. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children. So you're not serving, guess what he's calling you there? An immature Christian, a child. He says, grow up. Don't be like that, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, that's us, each one of us working, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Do you see there that he goes back to that metaphor of the body again, reminding us that for the body to work, every part of the body has to be working, and that's us, all right? So, it is our job to serve. It is our job to minister. It is a reasonable service. And I loved it last week when Dr. Hull was answering the three questions, and one of his questions was that he presumed that we would be asking, can you help us? Can you help us grow? His response, yes, I can with your help. And that is exactly the right response. It's not his job. His job is to equip us. Yes, that's right. That was cool to find that out. All right, so our job, not theirs. And the question then is, are you properly working? Are you properly working? Are you doing your part in the body? And to make sure that we don't just talk about it, how can you? How can you get involved in ministry? So let's make this practical real quick, then we'll go on to the other two sections. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? I don't know. I'm so sorry, guys. All right, four ideas, four things to help us get involved in ministry as individuals. They all start with a number. Okay. Number one, discover your spiritual gift. If you don't already know your spiritual gift, discover your spiritual gift, because God not only gave it to you to serve, to use in service to Him, He gave it to you to point you in the right direction for service. Number two, ask God to show you a place to serve. Number three, ask God to show you if there's something that needs to be done that nobody's doing. Many times, God will open up doors for ministry for us as we see holes, deficiencies, things that aren't being done that could be. And He gives us a passion for that. And all of a sudden, wow, so instead of saying somebody needs to do that, we then realize God's calling me to do that. And then number four, do it. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Do it. Sure. Honey, will you write them on the board, please? It will be up there at some point. I'm a little behind. Those four. Start with number one. Well, guys, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because we do have two really important sections. Yeah, but no, I'm not going to do that to you. Because I couldn't finish. Yeah, I don't want to do that. So I guess what we'll have to do is take the other two topics into 2016. It'll be that. Anyway, so what I want to do is with this first step. Hey, hold up for a second. Sit down, back down, please. You were called out, weren't you? I know. Just hold on. So this first installment is for us to be challenged to be considering in this new year, where are we going to serve? Where are you going to serve? And I pray that God will help you do that, help you find that. All right. In this, in fact, exact context of serving and doing, and not just talking about ministry. As you guys know, every year we find a family that is in a place of need that we can serve, we can help. And it was thrilling to hear about what God has done in y'all's life with Him providing for y'all for your insurance. And one of the things that you learn, I don't know, those of you who have done the Experiencing God study, is one of his suggestions is to tell you, you know, if you want to find out, if you want to know where to serve, what to do, how to be involved with God, find out where He's working and go there and become involved in that same thing. And we see God working in y'all's lives. And it's thrilling. As I look back on this last year, there are some highlights, some bright spots of people who have made decisions that are bringing them closer to God and aligning themselves with God and His direction in their lives. And we were thrilled to find out about the gift that you guys received, but also recognize that it probably isn't all that you need. And this was actually in motion before that. But we want you guys to know that we love you, and we went together to give you guys some money to help for Christmas or whatever else you guys need. Yes, we do. And Merry Christmas. Let's pray, and then you guys can be dismissed. God, we love you, and I ask, Lord, for each one of us, myself and each one of us, please speak to us, please show us in this season how we are doing with you. Holy Spirit, please open up our hearts to your truth, to your conviction, to your affirmation, to your joy, praise. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. Help us to know any area of ministry that we can become involved in. And we ask, God, that you would help us, give us grace to do it, to serve you. And in these other areas as well, God, I ask that you would be molding our hearts and drawing us closer to you. We have great joy in what you're doing in the lives of their family and are glad to be a part of it. Please, God, bless them. Bless them with joy. Bless them with awe of you and how you're working. And I pray, Lord, that this will be a testimony to them and their faith and to their children and their faith. And that all of this will result in them being drawn closer to you, to each other,